Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Enterprise Ireland's job is to support Indigenous Irish companies and encourage them to grow and export, but it also picks winners among them with firms that have especially good prospects and refers them to a special unit called the High Potential Startups Unit. Last night, it handed out its prestigious HPSU of the Year Award. And to discuss that and how it picks high-calibre entrepreneurs, I'm joined by Jenny Melia, the Executive Director with Enterprise Ireland. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
So, who won the HPSU last night?
So, the winner last night was Heidi Davis from a company called Perry. Really interesting company. It is a wearable device for women. You wear it just under your breast, and what it actually helps you to do is track perimenopause symptoms. Mm. And it is basically, it's a combination of the device, an app you have on your phone, a little bit like what you would see with your Garmin or your Fitbit dashboard. Mm-hmm. And it's actually giving you actionable insights then in terms of helping you how to treat your symptoms. And I think there was a bit of a trend last night in terms
of...
There was a few medical companies. There was a lot of purpose-driven companies. Like, we don't just now have the best of innovation in terms of what we see coming through, but, you know, entrepreneurs coming through that are really working, you know, to make an impact socially in terms of, you know, better planet, better quality of life for people. And that is the thing with perimenopause. You know, there is not a lot out there in terms of hard data to help women.
And it affects 50% of the population.
It's not one size fits all. Different symptoms for different people. So that's what makes it so relevant. So where Heidi now and the team are at the moment, they're a team of four. They're in the middle of a fundraising process. They're getting ready now to launch their first 1,000 devices out onto the market in the new year.
Do they get a cash prize from Enterprise Ireland by any chance to help them along?
Well, we would get in behind high potential startups in terms of investment funding. Mm-hmm. We put the supports of our 39 overseas offices behind them. So they have real time information coming through from the market and boots on the ground in those overseas markets. Last night's event was really the culmination of a huge piece of work that has happened through one of our development programs for these high potential startups called the Founders Forum. Mm-hmm. It's something we're running for a number of years. And what it does is it brings the companies that have the funding together and brings them with the best of coaches, with their peers who are also on the same learning journey as themselves, and really importantly, seasoned entrepreneurs, the people who have worn the boots. So if I look at the numbers that were there last night, I mean, while we're talking about Heidi now, the other three finalists that were shortlisted, another one on medical, one on sustainability, positive carbon, Neosurgical is working on a device for caesareans, and a pain relief product that is basically much easier for people to absorb and assimilate.
Now, how do you pick potential startups? Because, you know, hundreds of companies come through your door. What assessment do you have? And how much of it is gut instinct?
So we are working in the startup environment, Joe, for 25 years now. We would be the biggest pre-seed funder in Europe by deal count, which is, and that's
bigger
enterprise.
Bigger than the French and the Germans and the Italians?
Ahead of the French and ahead of the Germans. And I suppose when a promoter comes to talk to us, so they can be at different stages. Again, it's not one size fits all. They can just be at the very, very early stages of having an idea. They might have done a little bit more work on the idea and have some validation behind them, or they might be further on and already starting to talk to potential funders and investors. And so what we do then is we tune our conversation with them depending on where they are on the journey, because our supports are set up to help them from no matter how early they are to how mature and sophisticated the model is. But when they're coming in to talk to us, the very first thing we look at is the team.
Who's
behind the project? Are they first time founders? Is this maybe, you know, a follow on enterprise?
And if they're first time founders, are they less likely to become high potential startups?
No. A lot of this comes down to, and I think this is where it's really important. We talk about, you know, how coachable entrepreneurs are, that they will go and they will listen to people who have, who, like I say, have been on the entrepreneurial journey and worn the boots. But what for first-time founders, that's why it is so important that we get them into fora like that HPSU Founders Forum, so that they're learning from other entrepreneurs. But it's really important then in terms of how they build out their team. What's the experience they bring on to the team?
But hiring's not easy though, is it? In this environment of full employment, hiring is going to be a real problem, isn't it? And by the way, what's your fail rate? In other words, for every 10 companies that you back, how many won't exist in 5 years?
Yeah, so when I did a piece of work about 2020, I did a look back in with the team in terms of companies we had funded back as far as 2011. And after 1 year, about 20% of them had failed.
Yeah. That's after 1 year, though.
After 1 year. After 3 years, 80% of them were still in business.
Okay.
So when you would look at that, let's say, and you know, we're looking at those fastest growing startups, those startups that have the potential to scale in international markets and put a high jobs footprint into Ireland. But when you look at other startup businesses, the typical fail rate after 3 years would be maybe around 60, 70%. Yeah. But the thing is, the high potential startups, you know, the teams coming through, they've done a huge amount, and through the programs, they do a huge amount of work in terms of understanding what is the actual pain point they're solving for the customer. And that was a big discussion last night. No matter how good your technology or your product is, how easy do you make it for the potential customer to take it on, to build it into their product? How defensible is that product?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a tech product and you don't have intellectual property, where is the innovation in what you're doing? How will you stop or stay ahead of somebody else who might be trying to copy your offer? We look at then how attractive it is to the funding community and to investors, because while Enterprise Ireland is an investor, you know, there's a lot more money needed alongside Enterprise Ireland's investment. And of course, as well as investing directly in companies, we also invest in companies then via the seed and venture capital funds.
So you take a stake in their business?
We do. We get behind them on the cap table in terms of an equity stake. And what this does then is this strengthens their balance sheet and it makes them more attractive as well for external investors.
And taxpayers can get some money back eventually from it.
And this is all coming back to the taxpayers, Joe. When I look at the Enterprise Ireland client companies last year, they spent $39 billion, a whopping $39 billion in the Irish economy between salaries, between spend on materials and spend on services.
Which ends back in the treasury or eventually.
It is all coming back, Joe.
Jenny, thank you very much
thank
for
you
joining
very
us.
Much.
That's Jenny Melia, the Executive Director with Enterprise Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.